As the school year ramps up, we wanted to take a look at the shift towards paperless classrooms. Google is one company trying to create classrooms without pencils or notebooks or excuses about dogs eating homework. Google's web-based software, Google Apps for Education, already has about 30 million active users around the world. Many teachers say it's a helpful time saver and lets them see how students are doing on assignments as they're working on them. But others worry about commercializing the classroom, about student privacy, and about whether this is just another passing technological fad. NPR Ed's lead blogger, Anya Kamenetz, has been writing about Google in the classroom and is here to tell us more. Hi, Anya.
Hi.
And you've been speaking to teachers in paperless classrooms, as Google calls them. Would you explain how they work?
Sure. Well, anybody who works in a modern-day office can probably get a sense of this. Basically, the idea is that assignments are online, that students can ask questions online, that students are creating assignments using programs like Google Docs or drawing programs and submitting them automatically. And then teachers are also providing feedback through email or through a web interface.
I noticed in your blog post about this that you mentioned that teachers could even provide feedback as a student is working on an assignment because the teacher could kind of be figuratively looking over their shoulder online as they do it. And I was trying to decide if that felt odd to me or whether it's the same as a student going to a teacher mid-assignment and saying, I need your help.
I think that we've got to develop cultures and understandings around this idea that a student understands that a teacher is able to see their work. For the teachers that I talked to, they really saw it as a boon because, for example, you assign a group project and they come in and give their presentation and you really don't know who's doing what. But this teacher said, you know, these students created a Google Doc together and I could glance at their revision history and I could see exactly how much time each student had spent on it. And so it gives her some transparency into the classroom process that wasn't available before this technology.
What else do teachers and students see as the benefits of this?
Well, efficiency, obviously, you know, being able to instantly create a copy of assignments and give them to students, students being able to turn things in with one click. Like you said, it gets rid of the dog ate my homework problem. and with the new Google Classroom, they're really offering the opportunity to grade things like using Google Forms. You can do automatic grading just like you would scoring a survey or a quiz and give that right back to students. So, you know, the company is promising that it saves time. Teachers are saying that it updates the way that they teach.
Now, this is all Wi-Fi dependent, I assume, some way to connect to the internet. What if that goes down? Does the whole school system seize up?
Well, that's a really important question. You know, a 2013 survey found that 57% of school districts lack the adequate Wi-Fi to actually support a one-to-one device program. And so by switching over to web-based software and cloud-based services, you really are making a big assumption that you're going to have the infrastructure to support it. And that's just not the case in too many places around the country.
And is the same issue true at home, that some students may not be connected at home and so they're limited in terms of their ability to do online homework and that sort of thing?
Very much so. You know, one of the teachers I spoke to was in the Central Valley in California, and she said a lot of her students don't have Wi-Fi at home. She had to make sure that every assignment that she gave had a written or printed out equivalent. And that really changes the nature of the challenge here when you're talking about the digital divide at home as well as at school.
Anya, this is free software from Google?
Right. So Google Apps in general are free to use.
Is there any cost to schools of adopting this technology?
I mean, it depends how you look at it. Of course, there are infrastructure costs and device costs. So Google also is involved in the production of the Chromebook, which is a low-cost, stripped-down laptop. And so, of course, they have some, I think, hope that, you know, the sales of that hardware are going to complement or be bundled with the use of this free software.
Right. And I mean, I assume that Google is not developing all this educational technology just out of benevolence. So what else does Google potentially get out of this?
Well, it's interesting. I spoke to a student privacy expert who kind of had the great line that said, you know, if you're using free software and you're not sure what they're selling, you are the product. Mm. And the question becomes then for students, how is that use then going to be monetized? One way possibly is through creating, you know, faithful Google users down the line. Are they going to be, you know, familiar with Google applications and want to continue to use them? And then the other issue has to do with, you know, scanning of email and privacy and commercialization.
And on this issue of privacy concern, Google has admitted that it had been data mining student email messages to potentially improve its targeted advertising. So whose job is it and to protect the privacy of students online, and how should it be protected?
Well, so as of late April, because of the discovery process of this lawsuit, Google says that they're no longer scanning any student information from Gmail or any other Google app for education. So, you know, they voluntarily dropped it, but the point still really stands. And the question is, you know, how are we going to protect student information if schools, you know, obviously have this need for technological resources and they don't want to spend a lot of money for it, but they are certainly exposing themselves to terms of service, and terms of service can always change.
Anya, you know, I know, we all know how quickly things can change in technology. So what happens if this gets phased out? I wonder if you talk to any teachers who worry about losing technical support or maybe having to keep chasing the latest educational technology trends if this one goes away and a new one pops up.
You know, I'm increasingly interested in the way that new technologies create a huge human burden. I mean, beyond the cost of technology, even if it's free, the real cost is in professional development. It's in training teachers and getting them up to speed. And, you know, the fact that this is going to be a constant process, that every few years there's going to be something new coming down the pike, I think it's giving a lot of teachers some hesitation.
You referenced this, but for years we've all been hearing about how one day offices will be paperless. But at least in the office where I work, we still use and print a lot of paper. So how likely is it that classrooms really will be so heavily digital one day that quizzes and tests and homework will mostly happen online?
You know, I think the day may be coming a little bit faster than we think. With the phase-in of the Common Core state standards and those aligned tests, they're all being given on computers. And so there's a lot more schools and a lot more places where students are getting used to the experience of taking tests online. And I think following along from that is going to be much more appreciation and understanding that the classroom needs to resemble the modern workplace in a lot more ways.
Anya Kamenetz is the lead blogger for NPR Ed. Anya, thank you.
Thank you, Sasha.